Greetings in Christ's name to all of you. I would like to, this morning, have you turn with me to the book of Daniel. And it's probably fair to say, Shane, that you'll have a couple minutes to think of all the verses of Dare to be a Daniel. So if you'd leave that song when I ask for it. So Daniel, I've always liked the story of Daniel. And even though if you read the book of Daniel, it's a little, you sort of have to keep track of the events and who's being written about and who's speaking. But Daniel, to me, is just a timeless character, and his story really, really encourages me. So most of the focus is going to be in chapter 1 this morning, even though sort of the picture that I often think about of Daniel is when he's standing in front of the lions, and the lions don't look hungry and their mouths are closed, and that is a little bit past chapter 1. But Daniel here finds himself a captive because Nebuchadnezzar had commanded Ashpenaz to bring back youth from Jerusalem that were seed of royal family, and you'll find this in the verses, seed of royal family, they were without blemish, they had good appearance, they were knowledgeable, and they were competent to stand in the king's palace. And I don't know if more than four of these youth made it back, but we read about four in chapter 1 here. And there's no question about it. Nebuchadnezzar wanted Jerusalem's best, and he wanted them to promote a different culture than what they had grown up in. I think he wanted them to be a part, to become a part, assimilate forcefully into this pagan culture. And there's three distinctively recorded methods of how this was going to be accomplished. So in verse 5, he says that the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So he was going to make them eat kingly food and drink the wine that the king drank, and he was going to start a process by putting Daniel and his three friends in a three-year re-education course. At least that's what I guess it was, the re-education. But in verse 7, the third way he was going to do this was in verse 7, where he says, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And so if you look at what Daniel's name meant, it means that God is my judge. So he wants to give him a new name, Belteshazzar, meaning favored by Bel. And in chapter 4, in verse 8, you will read where King Nebuchadnezzar says that Belteshazzar, Daniel is named after one of my gods, Belteshazzar. And so we see this is also another attempt here to change. But in verse 9, we see God at work regardless of the king's attempt. In verse 9, it says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And if you read on, you see where they were going to give them food, and Daniel says, you know, I just feed me pulse here and water. And so that's what happened. And they looked better after 10 days. God continues to be at work here. And sort of, you wonder what the conversation was when the rest of those people got to eat pulse and water as well, as it says later in the verses there. Another place we see God at work is in verse 17. It says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And one of the more outstanding parts of Daniel's story is is how intentionally that God was involved in their lives. Daniel doesn't give impressions that these abilities to interpret dreams is all about him. And Daniel himself, when the king, when later on in the chapters here, you read where Daniel interpreted a dream, and the king bows down to him. This is the king. This is not a servant of Daniel. This is the king bows down to Daniel and gives him gifts. The part about this part of his story is that fame did not corrupt Daniel. And I took up Arlen Nisley's challenge from about, I don't know, sorry, 3 or 4 weeks ago, when he said that he would encourage us to listen to the rise and fall of Mars Hill. And so Rose and I took a long walk one evening, and we listened to the first two episodes. And one of the most concise words that I've heard in a long time about not just what happened at Mars Hill, but it is also applicable to me and to you. One of the most concise explanations for what happened was that Mr. Driscoll, when he was in his 20s, his fame began to rise dramatically. And this person would say that this man's fame, in essence, his fame outgrew the growth of his character. But Daniel's character had far outgrown his fame. And that is a sincere challenge to me, and I hope it is to you as well, that regardless of our giftings, regardless of our work that we do, I pray that your character will always be ahead of your fame. The other part that I am impressed with Daniel here is that I'm sure Daniel had difficulty making sense of the past. I'm guessing he was in his young teens when he was extracted, taken captive. I'm sure he was separated from family. I'm sure that he saw some of his own people being misused. And I'm sure that Daniel knew that the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. And it also speaks of how the vessels from Jerusalem had been put into the treasure house of the pagans. And so Daniel has all these things, these what I would call distractions and emotions, that he could have became distressed over. And I'm sure he was. But he had such a deep understanding of God that we don't have, well, and the other thing too is that we don't have any record that Daniel would have seen the rebuilt Jerusalem. I think possibly Daniel may never have seen that. But in spite of all these things, Daniel persevered, even when hope was not imminent. He found his hope in his present state, even though it was in the midst of this pagan culture. Well, our lives, like Daniel's, are comprised of more than just one story. And some of your lives, some of parts of my life, it's been really, really hard. I look at some of you, and I think of some of the hard things that some of you people have gone through and are currently still going through. And one of the things that I think that we all should remember, in spite of these terrible, difficult things, is that our lives as Christians should always exemplify some thread of thanksgiving and thankfulness. And when I recognize and when I see what Christ has done for each one of us, then that makes me realize and it makes me want to be faithful in serving Christ in spite of the culture that I live in spite of the things that I see that really bother me. And, you know, I could just, you know, in my mind, there's just this list of things that are wrong in this world. And yet, I have to be faithful in serving my God like Daniel was. I like to sing the song, Dare to Be a Daniel, this time. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for showing us through this story of Daniel that with your guidance, with the strength, with the faithfulness of your people, that great things can be accomplished. And I pray that you would help each one of us not to be frail in our workings, to be faithful as you work through us, and help us to exemplify your love to a world, even in times when it seems discouraging and it seems like it's not worth it. Help us to see the value of bringing life to people and to living a life that is full of joy, and help us to live our lives with purpose. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for returning to heaven and preparing a place. And help us to live our lives in a way that you would, through your graciousness, look forward to seeing your people someday. Be with us as we study more of you through our Sunday school class. Be with the brother who brings the message today as well. Pray that we would honor and glorify you through everything that is done today. In Jesus' name, amen.